Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Christmas week. On the RTC Weekly Download, we have some different kind of programs here. We will have one that you're familiar with, however, and that will be Mr. Jack Benny. So that's something to look forward to. But we'll start off with something called the AFRTS Presents Christmas. And this is a music program with a number of songs and people doing them from the Armed Forces Radio Network in the 40s.
You will hear Christmas music featuring Dick Hames and the Song Spinners, the choir of the Russian Cathedral in Paris, directed by Nicholas Afonsky, the Trinity Choir, and the Philadelphia Orchestra, under the direction of Leopold Stokowski. The selections will be Cradle Song of the Virgin, Gloria in Excelsis, Joy to the World, and Russian Christmas Music.
Thank you.
just heard a quarter hour of Christmas music, including Cradle Song of the Virgin, Gloria in Excelsis, Joy to the World, and Russian Christmas music. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Now it's time to join Lum and Abner, those two guys from the country down there in Arkansas, and their Christmas story. This is from 1938.
The makers of Postum, the favorite mealtime drink in millions of American homes, present your favorite radio friend, Lum and Abner. In Dickens' famous story, A Christmas Carol, remember the grouchy, mean-tempered old man, Mr. Scrooge? Well, even today, I think we run across a lot of people almost as bad-tempered as old Scrooge, don't you? And the pity of it is that most cranky people don't want to be that way. Usually, they're what doctors call nervous irritables, people who suffer from indigestion or headaches or can't sleep at night. Any one of those symptoms may mean that you have coffee nerves. For while many people can drink coffee without becoming jittery, many others cannot. If coffee nerves are making a nervous irritable of you, switch to Postum. For Postum contains no caffeine or stimulant of any kind, and it's as delicious as it is satisfying, with a cheering aroma and distinctive, mellow flavor that is Postum's own. For your convenience, it comes in two forms. Postum cereal, the drink you make by boiling or percolating, and instant Postum, mixed instantly in the cup. So, if coffee nerves upset your digestion, keep you awake, or make you feel headachy, switch to Postum with your meals. See how you improve the first few days. See if you aren't less of a nervous irritable at the end of 2 weeks, and after you've given Postum a full 30-day test, see if you're not again a cheerful, good-natured person. And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, it's Christmas time in Pine Ridge, and all business and other activities have been cast aside in preparation for celebrating the holiday. A heavy snow has fallen, and it is now after dark. Three old fellows, Lum, Abner, and Grandpappy Spears, are trudging through the snow on a real Christmas mission. Listen.
Hey, you're sure we're headed right now, are you, Grandpap?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know this the way, all right. Hey, Doc Miller rode his horse over here. You see his tracks there in the snow.
Oh, yeah, them hidden.
Well, it must be the old Gaddis place, then.
Yeah, that's just about where it's at. But there ain't nothing but the barn left there now that the house burnt down 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, Doc says it's due east from that road where we turned off there.
Due east?
Yeah, which way is east? I ain't paid no attention to the directions here.
Wait a minute. Whereabouts is the east star? There it is, right ahead of us. Yeah, we're going right, man. Don't worry about that. Yeah, we can just follow the east star.
Yeah, that ought to lead us to it, yeah.
How did you find out about these folks, Grandpap? Well, Doc Miller and his woman had supper over at our place, and we were sitting there visiting after we got done eating, and directly the telephone rung and told Doc to get right on over here.
Well, who done the calling?
Oh, some feller named Joe something or other. I forget what he did call his name.
Uh-huh.
He'd went over to some neighbor's house to call. Said they'd been into the county seat to pay their taxes, and there weren't no room at the hotel, so they come on out here to this old barn to spend the night.
Well, this ain't fitting weather to have to stay out in the barn, I'll say that.
And they said they were sort of expecting the baby to be born tonight, huh? Yeah, that's the reason they called Doc Miller. Yeah, what's the matter, Abner?
I don't guess my arm's getting tired here, feller.
Well, here, let me carry them blankets a while, and you carry this oil heater.
It's plumb wore out.
Is that box of groceries getting heavy, Grandpap?
No, I'm all right alone. You ought to be there directly anyhow.
Yeah, this snow tires a body out walking through it, you know it.
Yeah, well, maybe we're walking a little fast for you, Abner.
Yeah, slow down a little here, fella.
Well, here, you take the lantern.
Yeah, let me get hold of the thing. Yeah, I did it.
Wait. Mighty thought of you fellas to come over here at night. Sort of hate to call you to get out a night like this. But after Doc left, me and the woman got to talking about how pitiful it was that that couple was having to stay out here in this barn. Nothing to eat and all.
Why, sure. I'm just glad you called me, Grandpap. Just proud to have a chance to help.
Yeah, this makes it seem more like Christmas to me, doing for somebody else.
Why, sure.
You know, you just can't do things to make other folks happy without making yourself happy at the same time. I've always said that. Trouble with a lot of us, we sort of lose the Christmas idea altogether. Think too much about ourselves. The real Christmas spirit is the happiness we get out of making other folks happy.
Well, yes, it is. Now, there we was, sitting there at home, busy romping to what we was enjoying ourselves. These folks out here spending the night in the old barn this way. No, it just wouldn't have been no Christmas to it if you hadn't have called us up, Grandpappy, sure wouldn't.
Well, I knowed I could depend on you, feller. Now, man, if it's the old Gaddis place, we ought to be able to see it from the top of this hill here. Wait a minute. I believe that's the barn yonder, ain't it?
Yeah, that's right where they're at, sure as the world. Well, now, that's due east from where we was at, all right, for there's the east star right over the top of the barn yonder.
Yeah, there's Doc's horse tied to the fence there, too.
Yeah, believe it is.
See the light shining through the cracks in the walls.
Yeah. Well, sure, now that's a shame that them folks never let some of us know they needed a place to stay. Why, we've got plenty of room over there at our place. Just been glad to have them.
Well, this fella that called Doc said they was looking for a place to stay and seen this barn weren't being used, so they just put up there for the night.
Uh-huh. Whereabouts do they live, Grandpap, did he say?
Why, yeah, they're from over about Pleasant Valley, Summers, Abner.
Pleasant Valley?
Yeah, he told Doc he never had no cash money, taking every nickel he had to pay his taxes, but said if he'd make the call for him, why, he'd work it out quick as he could. Well, old Doc never refused a call in his life, I don't reckon.
No. I've knowed him to get up in the dead of night in the worst kind of weather to go call on the sick. When he knowed before he went, he never would get no pay for it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what we would do without old Doc here in this community.
Oh, he's a feller, he is.
Well, see, some it says his methods is a little old-fashioned, but grannies, I'll take my chances with him every time. Well, he's pulled me through the shadows time and again.
I've always said that Doc never practiced medicine for what money he got out of it. As much as he does for the good he can be to his fellow man, I've always said it.
Well, sure, if there ever was a man that's got to preserve seed in a better world, it's old Doc Miller.
Yes, he has.
You better not be talking too loud, fellas. We don't want to disturb him, though.
No. Let's be as quiet as we can, man.
You got to let Doc know we're here some way or other.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm wore to a frazzle.
I'm too. I don't know whether I'm out of breath or got too much.
Wore to a frazzle. I reckon it won't hurt nothing to tap on the door, sort of, original, will it?
No. Go ahead, Lommy. Might be needing this oil stove in there.
I don't hear a sound in there.
Well, I don't believe you knock quite loud enough, Lom. Maybe they never hear it.
Wait a minute. Here comes somebody at the door. Hey, howdy, Doc.
Oh, hello there. Well, what are you three old codgers doing out here this time of the night?
Well, we just got to thinking after you left, Doc. These folks might be needing something.
Yeah, Doc, we brought an oil stove and some bed covers.
Yeah, and here's a box of groceries, too. Well, now, they can certainly use them. Having any heat of any kind in there. Using what little hay was left in there for a bed, piled it all up in the manger, and made a pretty good bed. But now these covers will come in very handy, man.
Good. How is the lady, Doc?
Oh, getting along as well as could be expected, Lom. Here now, I'll take these things on in and have her husband light this heater and warm the place up a little. You men better stay out here for a little while.
Oh, yeah, sure. You go ahead, Doc. We wait out here.
If there's anything we can do, Doc, why, just holler.
It's all right. Thank you, Grandpa.
Doc, just a minute. What kind of work does this feller do?
Oh, I, he said a while ago that he was a carpenter by trade, Lom.
Carpenter?
Yes, they said he'd been out of work for quite a while, though.
Hmm.
Well, here, now, I better get back in.
Oh, yeah.
Said he was a carpenter, huh?
Yeah. I was just thinking, Ebner. We've been talking about having a loading platform built there for the back door down to store. I think it'd be a pretty good idea to just hire this feller to do a little fixing up around the store there for us.
Why, yeah, we was talking about putting some shelving across the back there, too.
Yeah.
Huh? Might just let him do that while he's at it.
Well, he'll want to be nice wife and baby for a few days now, I reckon.
Oh, sure, sure.
Quick as Doc thinks it's safe for him to be moved, I'm going to insist on him coming right on over there to our place and staying.
Well, now, that'd be the best place in the world for him, Grandpa. Aunt Charity could take better care of than anybody I know.
Oh, my, yes, she'd get a sight of enjoyment out of looking after that baby, I know. Just loves children.
Oh. Yeah, that woman of yours, Grandpap, has mothered every young'un in the community, I reckon.
Yes, sir, I was just thinking here, man. Sort of funny. Here we are, three old codgers, getting along in years, standing around out here waiting. Waiting for a little baby to be born. It's sort of like as if we was waiting for somebody to take our place.
Yeah, well, of course, we don't like to talk about such things, but now we've about served our time, I reckon, ma'am.
Won't be long before we'll have to move on. There'll be somebody else to take her place.
Oh, yeah. Lord me, they'll soon forget about us.
It's sort of like the years. Here, 1938, almost gone. There's been a lot of things happen, but it'll all soon be forgot. There's been lots of joys and happiness.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's been lots of heartaches and lots of blasted hopes. But there's a new year coming. We all get to start all over again. Here come 1939, bringing new hope and new courage. And we're sort of like the years, us three old fellas. We're sort of like 1938, and we're waiting on 1939. The little baby in yonder.
Well, just like I've always said.
Now, wait a minute. I believe somebody's coming to the door now.
Oh, maybe it's Doc. Maybe it's Doc.
Any news yet, Doc?
Well, men, it's a fine baby boy.
Thank you.
now, in the spirit of the season, Lum and Abner and the makers of Postum sincerely wish all of our friends a happy and joyous Christmas. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And the last will continue now with Mr. Jack Benny and Company. This is the Jack Benny Show and Jack's Christmas Open House from 1938.
J-E-L-L. Oh!
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with This Can't Be Love. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I've been thinking that today is a day of universal thank yous. Everybody's unwrapping Christmas gifts. Everybody's saying thank you to somebody else. And we want to say it, too. We want to thank you, listeners, for your gift to us of friendship and loyalty during the past 4.5 years. You've made us mighty happy, tuning in every Sunday night, and we hope that we, in turn, have helped make you happy and brought you some pleasant half hours. So, for the makers of Jell-O and for every one of us on the Jell-O program, thank you and Merry Christmas. This Can't Be Love, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this being Christmas Day, we look in on Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where he is holding open house for all his friends. Take it away!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle around the table. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rumble seat with Gable. Jingle bells, jingle bells, dum da da.
Mary, I wish you wouldn't jingle this ladder. I'm liable to fall off.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack.
And hand me the rest of those ornaments. I want to get this tree decorated before the gang gets here.
It's a fine time to be trimming a Christmas tree. It should have been done a week ago.
Well, I wanted to look around and get a real good one.
I never saw such a droopy tree. It looks like Zazu Fitz in a green dress.
Mary, all this tree needs is a few decorations. Now, hand me up those candy canes.
Here you are.
And hold the ladder. Hey, I had 12 of these candy canes. Now there's only 11. Where's the other one?
Don't look at me.
I'm not looking at you. I'm asking you.
All right, I ate it. Here's 10 cents.
Smarty, I bet you'd be surprised if I took it.
I wouldn't be surprised if you sued me.
Mary, I want to get this finished. Hey, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Where's that big glass star I told you to pack away last Christmas?
You mean that shiny one with the 3 points on it?
That star has 5 points.
Well, it went down 2 points this last year.
All right, bring it anyway. Mary, hand me some of that silver tinsel there.
Here you are. Say, Jack, are your socks dry yet?
Yeah.
Well, take them off the tree. People will be here soon.
Okay. Now, hang on to the ladder, Mary. I want to fix these top branches here. Hold tight now. Well, I'll be darned.
What's the matter, Jack?
There's a little squirrel up here on the top. Hello, squirrel.
Hello, nut.
Get away from me. Shoot. Mary, hand me that Cupid doll I won at Ocean Park. I'll hang that on the treetop there.
Oh, Jack, that looks so corny. Why don't you get rid of it?
Listen, Mary, I threw over 100 baseballs to win this doll, and I'm going to keep it.
That's right. Say, how much tinfoil have you got saved up by now?
About 3 tons. Oh, shut up! Hand me a couple of those popcorn balls.
There's the door, Mr. Benny. You want me to answer it?
Look, Rochester, I'm up here on the ladder. My arms are full of ornaments, so what do you think?
Well, how long before you'll be down?
Answer the door!
Yes, sir.
Say, Mary, this tree is beginning to look pretty good now, isn't it, huh?
That tree wouldn't look good if Earl Carroll hung chorus girls on it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, well, happy Yuletide, gentlemen. Entree!
Oh, Jack, they're the boys from Phil's orchestra.
Gosh, what they did to my house last time they were here. Come in, fellas! Merry Christmas, everybody. Rochester, take the boys in the other room and give them some refreshment.
You mean that punch you fixed up this afternoon?
Yeah, help yourself, boys.
Take it easy, man. It ain't nothing to get excited about.
And that Rochester doesn't think punch is any good unless you have to crawl away from the bowl. Now, let's see.
Say, Jack, who's all coming over tonight anyway?
Well, there's our whole gang. Then I invited some very important people. See, Robert Taylor and Barbara Stanwyck, Clark Gable and Carol Lombard, Ronald Coleman and Ginger Rogers. Oh, a whole flock of them.
Well, gee, I ought to run home and put on a dress with a lower back.
Lower back? It's down to San Diego now. And, oh, Mary, you want to hear something terrific? I asked Barbara Whitney to come here as my guest.
Barbara Whitney?
Yeah, you remember the girl I took away from Phil Harris?
The girl you took away from Phil?
What are you laughing at?
That's like taking a hair away from John L. Lewis's eyebrows.
Just the same, Phil will burn up when he sees her here.
Is she coming alone?
No, I asked Don Wilson to stop by and pick her up. Now, Mary, hand me some more of that tinsel. I want to get this tree finished. Well, I guess they're starting to arrive now, huh?
Hey, Mr. Benny, are you still up on that ladder?
Yes, I am.
Okay, then I'll answer.
Well, that's mighty sweet of you. See, now I think I'll put something on this branch here.
Oh, Jack, why don't you stop fussing with that tree and come down?
No, Mary, Miss Whitney will be here, and I want it to look beautiful.
Hello, Rochester.
Hello, Mr. Baker. Merry Christmas, season's felicitations, and wipe your feet.
Hiya, Kenny.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Come on in, Kenny. Hang up your hat and coat and make yourself at home.
Okay, Jack. Am I the first one here?
No, the orchestra boys are in the other room. Hey, Kenny, don't hang your coat on the Christmas tree.
Would need something.
Well, it's not that bare.
Oh, say, Jack, here's a little present for you. It's nothing much, but I hope you like it.
Oh, thanks, Kenny.
Here, catch it.
Gee, I wonder what it is.
I'll bet it's a baked apple.
Bet it isn't. Say, it's a pretty package. Oh, Kenny, these are beautiful.
They're the very latest thing, Jack. Musical handkerchiefs.
Musical handkerchiefs, huh?
Yeah, every time you blow your nose, chimes ring.
Well, I'll be darned. I can hardly wait till I catch a cold.
Well, why don't you try one, Jack?
Okay, I will.
Now blow hard.
Oh, isn't that a novelty? I wonder how they ever made these.
They must have crossed a piece of linen with a hunk of xylophone.
Mary, you're positively brilliant.
Say, Jack, as long as the orchestra boys are here, I'd like to go in the next room and brush up on my song.
Oh, go ahead, Kenny. We'll want a little entertainment.
Okay, see you later.
Now, Mary, we've just got a few more things to put up. So hand me that big paper bell there.
Here you are, Jack.
Hey, Rochester, there's the door again.
I got my shoes off.
Well, put them on and answer it.
Okay.
You know, Mary, the way Rochester's been acting lately, I've got a good mind not to give him his Christmas present.
What'd you get him, Jack?
A brand new vacuum cleaner.
A vacuum cleaner?
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. He can play with it on his day off.
Well, at least it's something practical.
Here you are, boss. A couple of telegrams for you.
Telegrams? See where they're from, Mary.
Okay.
Christmas greetings, I suppose, huh?
Oh, Jack, this wire's from Robert Taylor.
Oh, Bob, huh?
Yes, he says that, Dear Jack, terribly sorry that Miss Stanwyck and I are unable to come to your party tonight, as Miss Stanwyck's dog, Rover, is quite ill.
Hmm. I don't believe it. That's just a thin excuse. Hmm. What's the other wire, Mary?
Here it is. It says, Dear Jack, believe me, Mr. Taylor is telling the truth. I have a terrible headache, signed Rover.
Hmm. Well, it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to see through those wires. I'm glad they're not coming. That burns me up.
Hey, Jack, should I try my song now?
Yes, go ahead and try it. What do I care? Mary, hand me some more of that lousy tinsel.
Jack,
us till we see thee light above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looking down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep in the
here could stand a few more ornaments. Mary, hold the ladder.
Okay.
And hold it tight. Remember what happened the last time I climbed a tree?
Yeah, you saw the Rose Bowl game.
I don't mean that time.
Wow, look at all those decorations. Hey, Mary, what's that round, shiny thing on top?
Jack's head.
It is not. It's a silver moon.
Hey, boss, another telegram for you.
Take it, Mary. I wonder if I should put a popcorn ball on top there instead of a star.
Oh, Jack, this telegram is from Ronald Coleman.
Oh, Ronnie, huh? What does he say?
He says, "Dear sir, regret exceedingly that I cannot attend your holiday gathering, and incidentally, how did you get my address?"
How did I get his address? He lives right in back of me.
Well, there's another one off your list.
Yeah. Oh, darn it, that top bulb went out. Hold the ladder tight, Mary. There, I guess I can reach it.
Oh, Jack, here comes Don Wilson and Barbara Whitney up the front steps.
Oh, fine. Let them in, Mary.
Okay.
Gee, I hope Barbara liked the Christmas present I sent her.
Hello, Don. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Mary.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Barbara. Mary. Christmas. Ooh, my leg.
Was that the door, Mr. Benning?
No, that was me. I fell off the ladder.
Oh, I won't answer then.
Help me up, Don. Ooh, I sat on some ornaments. I hope somebody sent me a pair of tweezers.
Here, give me a hand, Jack. That's too bad.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Jack. It's all my fault.
No, it isn't, Barbara. I'd have probably fallen off anyway. Gee, I'm glad to see you, Babs. Hey, did Don drive carefully on the way over?
Well, he drove pretty fast, but he had his arm around me so I wouldn't bounce out.
Oh. Oh, so that's it. Why, Don?
From Harris to Benny to Wilson.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. I'm not a bit jealous of Don. He's my friend, aren't you, Don?
Yes, Jack, and believe me, I acted like a perfect gentleman.
Did he, Barbara?
Well, he did whisper something in my ear that was kind of cute.
Oh, yeah? What was it, Don?
Well, Jack, I'll admit I did sort of lose my head for a minute.
All right. Come on, Don. What did you whisper in Barbara's ear?
Well, I got all excited and I said, roses are red, violets are blue, Jell-O is tempting, and so are you.
Why, Don Wilson, look at those big red blushes on your face. Say, Babs, did you get the Christmas present I sent you?
Thanks, Jack. They were lovely, but I never wear pink ones.
Oh, darn it, Barbara, keep still. God.
Oh, boy. Jack, it's sure some devil.
Stop laughing, Kenny. I bought Barbara a pair of pink gloves.
I bet they got lace on them.
They have nothing on the kind. Now, come on, everybody. Let's go in the other room and have some refreshment.
Hey, boss.
What is it, Rochester?
There's somebody at the back door wants to see you.
Oh, yes. I know who it is. Excuse me a minute. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, hello, Andy.
Hiya, Buck.
Not so loud. Wait till I close the door. Now, look, Andy. You'll find the Santa Claus suit out there in the garage. And as soon as you're dressed, you climb up on the roof and come down the chimney.
Well, I better put a beard on so they won't recognize me.
Yeah, you better put one on your tonsils, too. Now, here's the bag with all the presents in it.
Okay, gee, this is gonna be fun.
Quiet, Andy, quiet. They'll hear you.
Oh, say, Buck, here's a little Christmas present that Ma sent you. I hope you like it.
Well, that was very sweet of her. What is it, Andy?
Well, it's a combination salad fork and back scratcher.
Well, say, there's a comb on there, too.
Now, that's for your hair, are you?
Wait a minute, Andy. Say, there's a comb on there, too.
That's for your hair as you're going by.
Oh, yeah. But it's too late now. Now, look, remember, Andy. Remember, when you're all dressed up, get up on the roof, see? And here's your cue. When you hear me say, Santa Claus will be here in a minute, you come down the chimney.
Okay, see you later, Buck. I feel like a darn fool.
Quiet, Andy. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Dum, dum, dum. Well, here I am again, gang. Hey, I'm sorry, Barbara. I had a little business to attend to.
Oh, that's quite all right. Say, Jack, another telegram just came for you. It's from Clark Gable and Carol Lombard.
Oh, what does it say?
It says that we would love to be with you tonight, but we were invited somewhere else in the nick of time.
Well, of all the... That's the last time I'll ever invite them. And I hope Ginger Rogers doesn't wire me that she can't come.
She couldn't wait. She telephoned.
Oh, that's fine. Well, next time I'll give a party, I'll get a crowd if I have to change my name to Elsa Maxwell. This is awful.
Yeah, what are we going to do with all this food in the kitchen?
I don't know, Rochester.
Doggone, I'll be eating so much cranberry sauce, I'll be red in the face.
That's a neat trick if you can do it. Red in the face.
Say, Jack, isn't Phil Harris coming over tonight?
Phil? Of course he is, and wait till he sees Barbara Whitney here.
Why, Jack, didn't you tell Phil I had a date with you tonight?
No, let the wise guy find out for himself. Hey, boys, how about playing a number, fellas, and we'll wait and we'll dance till dinner is ready. Huh? Oh, yeah. And leave the punch bowl on the table. You can go back. Come on, Babs, let you and I dance.
I'm sorry, Jack, I promised the first one to Don.
Oh, I see. Well, Mary, looks like I'm stuck with you.
Huh? Oh, no, you're not. I'm stuck with Kenny.
Well, play, boys. Hey, Rochester.
I don't want to dance.
I don't want you to dance. I want you to put down that newspaper and get out of that easy chair. Hit it, boys. Who does Clark Gable think he is, anyway?
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. I enjoyed that dance very much.
So did I, Don.
Say, Mary, I'm some dancer, ain't I?
Kenny, you're marvelous, and believe me, I'm kidding.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, Jack, what are you doing up on that ladder again?
I want to put these ornaments back on top of the tree. Now, Mary, hold the ladder steady this time, will you? There's the door, Rochester.
Doggone every time that bell rings you up on the ladder.
Listen, Rochester, you'd be trimming this tree yourself if you weren't colorblind. Mary, hand me up those scissors.
Well, well, Merry Christmas, Mr. Harris.
Hiya, Rochester.
Say, Jack, it's Phil Harris.
Oh, boy, wait till he sees Barbara here. Merry Christmas, Phil.
Same to you, Jackson. Say, Jack, I brought a friend along. Do you mind?
No, no, who is it?
Joan Bennett.
Joan Bennett? Hello, Joan.
Hello, Jack.
Ooh, my elbow.
Well, Jack, what are you doing in that ridiculous position?
Who, me?
It's an encore, but you don't know it.
Help me up, Mary. Well, Joan, I'm awfully glad you dropped in. It was nice of Phil to bring you.
No, he and I are old friends, aren't we, Phil?
You said it, baby. Baby. You know, Joan, every girl he takes out, he calls baby.
Well, he can't remember all their names.
Half of them you can't even pronounce. Oh, Joan, you know everybody here, don't you?
Nearly everybody. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Joan. Gee, that's a pretty dress you've got on.
Thanks. You really like it?
No, but it's Christmas.
Mary. Oh, Joan, I don't think you've met Miss Whitney. This is Barbara Whitney, my latest.
Well, how do you do, Miss Bennett? How do you do? She's a little young for you, isn't she, Jack?
Well, that's me. Get 'em young, treat 'em rough,
and buy 'em nothing.
You know, Joan, Phil is so witty at times.
Hey, Miss Bennett! Miss Bennett!
Yes, Kenny?
Here I am, under the mistletoe.
I'll be over in about 5 years.
Very good, Joan.
5 years. Gosh, I'll be out of the mood by then.
Look what's in a mood. Well, boys and girls, I hope you're all hungry. We're going to have a swell turkey.
Don't tell me you went for a turkey.
Yes, I did, Phil. We're going to have a marvelous dinner. Everything from soup to nuts.
How much is it a plate?
I'll just ignore that. Oh, Rochester, how's the turkey coming along? We're getting hungry.
Well, it'll take time, boss. That's a pretty tough bird.
Tough bird? He's been in the oven over 3 hours.
I know, but every time I light the gas, he blows it out.
Well, I'll be darned. Now, you go out in the kitchen and rush that turkey along.
Okay. Man, that's the foulest fowl I ever saw.
I'm sorry, Joan, but you know Rochester exaggerates, though. The dinner is really lovely.
Well, to tell the truth, Jack, I'm not hungry.
Oh.
Well, there's an unusual blonde.
Quiet, Mary. Well, folks, let's have some of these hors d'oeuvres here till dinner is ready.
Oh, Jack, Rochester made a mistake.
Well, what's the matter?
There's only 7 of us here, and he brought in 8 olives.
Well, Joan can have 2. Gee, it's good to see you again, Joan. Gosh, I haven't seen you since we finished making Artisan Models Abroad. We sure had a lot of fun in that picture, didn't we?
Yes, we did, Jack. It's playing around now. Have you seen it?
Joan, you promise you won't tell anybody?
I promise.
I saw it 12 times.
12 times?
Yeah.
You know your part, Jeff?
A little trouble, didn't I? But say, Joan, no kidding. Gee, when I looked up at the screen and I saw you in my arms, gee, it seemed just like a dream.
You mean that scene where we were sitting on the park bench in the moonlight eating popcorn?
Yeah. Gee, wasn't it marvelous?
Well, I didn't think there was enough butter on it.
I'm talking about us.
Oh.
You know, Joan, the two of us worked so smoothly together. How would you like to make another picture with me sometime?
Well, Jack, I don't know. I couldn't really say right now.
Send him a telegram. Everybody else does.
Mary. Oh, say, Joan, I almost forgot. Come on out here in the hall a minute. I got a surprise for you.
What is it?
Oh, come on. Come on with me. You'll find out. Excuse us a minute, will you, fellas?
Hey, Jack, what's the idea?
Never mind. Come on, Joan.
Oh, all right. Don't pull me.
No, I'm sorry. Well, here we are.
Where?
Right under the mistletoe. You know what that means, don't you?
No. What does it mean?
Well, it means this. Yippee! Wow!
Hooray.
Wasn't that swell, huh? Now, let's go back, and Joan, act nonchalant, huh?
All right. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Dum, 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 dum. That's the idea.
Hey, Jack, what are we going to eat?
Oh, yeah.
All right, pretty soon, fellas, pretty soon. Now, look, everybody, before we go into dinner, I want you all to sit around the fireplace and get your presents. Sandy Claus is coming down the chimney.
Sandy Claus?
Yeah. Now sit around the fireplace, everybody. Oh, now put out the lights, Mary.
Okay, Jack.
Because Sandy Claus will be down here in a minute. Because Sandy Claus will be down here in a minute. Because Sandy Claus...
Oh, stop that clowning, Jack.
I'm not clowning. Sandy Claus, are you deaf?
Deaf nothing. I'm stuck in the chimney.
Oh, my goodness. What do we do now?
Let's see.
That's it. Come on, fellas. See you later, Andy. Oh,
this is the busiest season of all the year, and you mothers know it better than anyone else. Well, here's one swell way to save time and trouble and keep your family happy. Get acquainted with the delicious new Jell-O puddings and serve them often. Well, they're quick and easy to prepare, and the whole family will enjoy them. Jell-O butterscotch pudding, rich with old-fashioned butterscotch flavor. Jell-O vanilla pudding, creamy, delicate, and smooth. And Jell-O chocolate pudding, rich and chocolatey and tempting. All three can be made in next to no time, for they require only just a few minutes cooking. And you get delicious pudding, the real homemade kind that's just mouth-watering good. So for easy, inexpensive, and delicious desserts, try the new Jell-O puddings. Butterscotch, vanilla, chocolate.
Good night, folks, and Merry Christmas.
J-E-L-L.
On the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.